private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you can get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says...
Walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates the Champagne Doll.
As part of an assignment, I once had my secretary, Julie, keep tabs on a certain doll who was supposed to be going around with a particularly sleazy hood I wanted to track down. She reported to me that this girl had left her apartment building in the company of a man. What did he look like, I asked. Oh, I can't remember what he looked like, she said, but you should have seen the dress the girl was wearing. A fetching little number in carnation red with a scooped-out back. I'm sure it's a model, all in Georgian silk. And she had her hair in the Cleopatra style, you know? And the accessories... Well, that was where I tuned out. Now, the point I'm making is that this passion for observing women's dress, to the exclusion of all else, may just be the reason that there aren't too many lady private eyes around. Now, I've come to the profound conclusion that there is a marked difference between men and women. But I'd be the last to knock it. For it was this particular difference that once saved my life.
Well, here we are, Julie. Don't say I didn't deliver you home safe and sound.
Oh, thank you, Roger. It was sweet of you.
And somebody's got to stand in for Peter while he's working night and day on that forgery business.
Yes, poor dear. He never seems to rest these days. He's been on that case for weeks. But it'll be over soon, thank goodness.
Oh? He got it all sewn up, has he?
Almost. And by the time he gives his evidence in court, he says it'll blow the whole thing wide open, right up to the top man.
Good show. Well, he'll have earned a jolly good rest when this is over.
And I might get to see him once in a while, too. It would make a nice change.
Oh, has it been as bad as that? My escorting you round, I mean.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that, Roger. Oh, you've been a darling, but...
Say no more. I know what you mean. And I won't say it hasn't been fun substituting for Peter. He's a wonderful chap.
Yes. But don't tell him, will you? Makes him very hard to manage.
I'll see you up to your door.
Oh, there's no need to, really, Roger. I can easily go up on my own. I'm a big girl now. Or hadn't you noticed?
I'd noticed. Hadn't you noticed I'd noticed?
This could get complicated. I think we better leave.
Stay right where you are.
What on earth?
The devil... Get back in the car. Julie, come on, get moving. Unless you want to get hurt.
Oh.
Now, look here. I don't know who you are. But...
Shut up, unless you want me to fix you.
If you don't stop annoying this lady...
All right, you asked for it.
Roger.
Shut up. Get in the car like I told you. You're coming for a little ride.
I'm not going anywhere with you. What have you done to Roger?
Get in the car.
Let me go. Help! Help, police! Police, help!
Shut up, will you? I said
help!
Shut up!
Help! Help somebody!
One thing Julie does not lack is a good pair of lungs. And she kicked up such a racket that the hood who was trying to put the arm on her decided that discretion was the better part of kidnapping and beat it in an awful hurry. Her escort that evening suffered only a small bump on the head. He, by the way, was a character by the name of Roger Bacon, and he ran a very successful grill joint, which he called... Yeah, that's right, the Bacon Grill. He was a good Joe, been a friend of mine for several years. Apparently, Roger Bacon was his real name, not just a pinch from the guy who started fooling around with gunpowder a few hundred years ago. Now, the business of Julie having the arm put on her created something of a sensation in the papers, and she had a lot of fun enjoying the spotlight. Although I soon began to find it all just a little bit wearing on the nerves.
No, this is not for the press, Miss Summers. This is for a radio broadcast in our People in the Street session.
Oh, how interesting. People in the Street. Well, I didn't know the BBC had a session.
Oh, it's a new one. It hasn't been on the air yet.
Oh. Oh, well, I'd be delighted to tell you it.
Oh, Julie, when would you... Oh, didn't know you had anyone here.
Oh, this is Miss...
Charles. Ella Charles.
Miss Charles. This is my employer, Mr. Troy.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Charles? I must say it's a pleasure.
Miss Charles has come to interview me, Peter. A radio interview.
Oh, we're still on that so-called kidnapping last night, are we?
There's no so-called about it. That man was going to take me away in Roger's car.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, don't let me hold up the wheels of radio. I'll just sit here on the desk and watch. How do you do this?
I have my little tape recorder here, see? And the microphone hangs right here on my chest.
Oh.
Cute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cute.
Mr. Troy has quite an eye for microphones, Miss Charles. Shall we go on with the interview?
Oh, yes, of course. Now, I'd like you to speak carefully and distinctly, please, to make sure we get a good tape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run your words together, that sort of thing.
You are particular, aren't you? What do you want me to say?
Oh, I'll ask the questions and you answer them. And I'll switch on the machine. There. Now, your name, please.
It's Julie. Julie Summers.
Good. Now, when this man accosted you, I suppose you said something to your escort? Something like, this man's threatening me or something?
There was no time for that.
Oh, come now, that's a very short speech. Why, it only takes a second or two. Say it.
This man's threatening me. I don't see any
Well,
point.
Perhaps we can leave that. We don't want to argue, do we? were you in front of your apartment building?
Of course. I don't usually climb up the fire escape and creep into my apartment through a window.
You don't? Then would you tell our listeners what you usually do?
I come up the front way. Look here, Miss Charles. This is about the silliest interview I've ever had.
Oh, really? Now you've ruined the tape. We can't broadcast a statement like that.
Well, I'm sorry, but you ask such pointless questions. I mean, why don't you just let me tell the story?
Everybody's read the story in the papers, Miss Summers. What we want is something different. Odd angles and so on.
Oh. All right, then. Can we start all over? I'll help if I can.
If you'll just answer the questions. Now, when you were standing in the street...
If you'll excuse me, I'll just go into my office. I don't want to put you ladies off. I have a pile of work on my desk, and this interview looks like being quite a chore.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Now, what's that? Oh, your interview... Was it that bad?
I'm convinced that woman is not all there.
Well, with looks like hers, she doesn't have to be.
Oh, of all the idiotic interviews. I can't imagine how she holds a job.
Well, maybe she has a boss who is very sympathetic.
I'm going to have a boss who is very accident-prone if you don't take that dreamy look off your face.
Oh, come now. You must admit Miss Charles looked terrific in that outfit she had on. You know, sort of fawny yellow.
Champagne.
Hmm?
The color of her costume. Champagne, it's called.
Well, that's a nice name for a color. I like it.
Well, that's another thing. You can't tell me she bought that out of her wages.
What? Her outfit?
Mm-hmm. It's an exclusive model, one of Leclerc's. I saw a write-up about them in one of the magazines.
Hey, wait a minute. You mean this radio interviewer was wearing a dress that came from Leclerc's?
Oh, didn't I just say it? It's either that or a very good copy. And they only came out this week. She's hardly had time to copy it.
A doll doing radio interviews and wearing a 200-guinea rag from the most exclusive salon in London. Julie, honey, I smell something. And it's not Chanel number 5.
Well, if it wasn't an attempted kidnapping, Pete, I don't know what you'd call it.
Oh, who'd want to kidnap Julie? She isn't worth a nickel.
I like that.
Oh, no offense, honey. I mean, you don't have any money. If you were held for ransom, what would they get? A headache, that's all.
That's nice. I might have suffered a fate worse than death or something, and you can just sit there and...
The guy who first spoke about a fate worse than death obviously had never tried dying.
Of course he hadn't. How could he be dead and say it?
I don't know. Do you, Roger?
Not the faintest idea.
Oh, what are we talking about anyway? All I'm trying to say is...
That somebody tried to snatch you. Well, all I'm saying is you imagined it. Was some creep trying to put the word on you for a date, that's all.
Oh, you are the most infuriating... How do you know what happened? You weren't there.
If I had been, the hood wouldn't have gotten away.
Well, he hit me before
oh,
I had...
Oh, sure. It's not your fault, Roger. I know that.
Excuse me, Mr. Troy, but there's a telephone call for you.
For me? Oh, thanks.
If you'll take her on the phone over there, sir.
Yeah. Excuse me, you two. Probably Inspector Caswell. I won't be long.
He makes me so angry sometimes. Practically implying we made up that story about the kidnapping.
Well, it was true enough, Julie. I've got a lump on my head to prove it.
Of course it was true. Why, I might have been killed.
Pete said you wouldn't be worth anything to kidnappers holding you for ransom. He's right.
Well, then?
That started me thinking. Suppose they were not after you, but after Pete himself. Getting at him through you.
You think that...
This investigation he's been working on, there must be some pretty tough boys mixed up in that. Now, suppose they kidnapped you and then sent a message to Pete to lay off, or else they'd kill you.
I never thought of that.
Makes sense though, doesn't it? Look, Julie, even if Pete is pretty casual about what happened last night, I feel you should do something to protect yourself.
Well, I must tell Pete.
Now, don't waste your time. He'll laugh his head off. Here, look, take this. Hmm? No, don't hold it up. Just put it straight in your purse.
Well, what is it? It's a gun.
Little Belgian automatic, but with it, you're as good as any man alive. Now, take it.
But you think I might need it?
Well, you never know. Keep it handy anyway. Oh, and don't mention it to Pete. You know what he's like about things like that. Mm. I have a license for the pistol, but you haven't, and he wouldn't approve of your having it, I'm afraid.
No, he wouldn't.
Just keep it till all this investigation of Pete's is over. You know how to use a gun, don't you?
Yes, I've seen one like this before. Is it loaded?
It's loaded, Julie, fully loaded. And don't forget, keep it with you always. And any time you think you're likely to be molested or there's a prowl around your apartment or anything, don't hesitate. Shoot to kill.
I wasn't quite as casual or unconcerned about the attempted kidnapping of Julie as I let her think. Fact is, I didn't want to alarm her. And I hadn't told her that I had earlier that day asked Inspector Caswell to check up on one or two things for me that might, I hoped, throw a little light on the matter, if you'll pardon the cliché. There was also the question of a certain doll wearing a very expensive champagne-colored costume, wasting her time and ours with wacky interviews. And, of course, there was the forgery racket I'd been investigating for weeks. My own pet poltergeist had whispered to me that somewhere there was a connection between all three subjects. But my poltergeist didn't say what the connection was. He's like that. When I got back to the table in the bacon grill where Roger was playing host, the atmosphere was sort of cool.
Oh, you're back.
I think so.
Your dinner's cold. It'll be ruined. A nice compliment to Roger, I must say.
I'm sorry, Roger.
Well, what's a dinner or two between friends? I'll order you another.
No, let's just have coffee. I'm not hungry anyway.
Who was the call from?
The phone. Oh, some stoolie who wanted to sell me some information I dug up for myself 3 weeks ago. Some creepy little character I didn't even know. Which is rather odd.
How odd?
I know all the characters who sell me information. It was this guy, and why did he call me?
Such are the mysteries of the private eye business, Pete. Shall I order coffee? Well, here we are again. Home this time, really safe and sound.
Oh, thanks for coming along, Roger. I'll be all right now.
Got your key?
Right here in my hot little hand.
Can't think why Pete didn't see you home tonight. If he had time to eat with us, I'd have thought he'd have time to see you home.
Oh, he said he wanted to go over all the evidence on his forgery thing again. If I know him, he'll be up till all hours on it.
Burning the midnight oil and all that, eh? Well, thank heavens I'm just a poor restaurateur. Can get some sleep now and then. You've got the gun?
Oh, yes, in my purse.
Now, don't forget what I told you. There might be some very unpleasant people after your life, and Pete's. Mm. If you happen to see or hear anything unusual, shoot first and ask questions afterwards.
Roger, you make it sound so ruthless.
You could be dealing with ruthless people, Julie. And remember, it may not be only your life that's involved, but also the life of Peter Troy.
Half after 12. Peter Troy.
It's Julie. This man's threatening me. Don't come up the front way. Climb the fire escape. Through a window.
What? Julie, what? Hello. Hello, Julie. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Look here, Troy, I may be working late on this forgery case, just as you were, but my office is not open at all hours for general business.
I'm sorry, Inspector, but this business may not be as general as we'd like to think.
You mean this girl you asked us to check up on?
I don't mean anything, but it may be important that I know what you found out.
Now, at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Time and crime wait for no man, Inspector. Now, will you get the report of the man who did the checking, please?
It's right here on my desk somewhere. Yes, here we are. Costume, sir. You're right. That costume was sold by Leclerc's.
And?
You're also right in suggesting it was a model. The only one they made in, what's this? Champagne.
That's right, it's a color.
Champagne's a color? Oh, learn something every day.
Ain't it the truth? Who bought the costume?
It was delivered to a Miss Ella Charles.
Well, that figures. Who paid for it?
Nobody, Ian.
It was charged?
Yes, to the account of one Roger Bacon.
What?
Roger Bacon, that's a real name? Oh, surely not.
It's a real name, Inspector. One you're not likely to forget in a hurry. Organize a car and some men. You just might be making a very interesting arrest tonight.
Pete, ye gods, what are you doing here at this hour?
Well, it's like this, Roger, old pal. I'm under something big, a big arrest, maybe. And I just happen to remember how interested you've always been in my cases, saying how you'd like to be along sometime.
Yes, I would, but at this hour?
Well, you know how it is. For a long time, the police have been trying to make a deal with the crooks so that they'd operate only in the daytime. But crooks are very uncooperative. They insist on operating any old time.
Well, I don't know, Pete. It's very late.
Now, don't tell me I've come all this way up to your place for nothing.
I appreciate you wanting to let me in on something, Pete. I've always wanted to see a master criminal being arrested and all that.
Well, then get dressed.
Who is it you're on to?
That's the big surprise. Mustn't spoil it for you.
Well...
Oh, come on, get moving. I'd hate the police to get there first.
Oh, the police aren't in on this?
Not if I can get there before they do. It'll be just you and me.
Just you and me?
Yeah.
Well, that does make it sound pretty exciting. All right. Just give me a couple of minutes to throw something on and I'll be with you.
Okay. Better wear crepe soles on this job. Okay, Roger, this is it.
What? But this is... Oh, surely you must know.
Yeah, the back of Julie Summers' apartment block.
Well, then...
That's where we're going to find our man. He's up there with Julie. She's entertaining him for me, keeping him nice and quiet and unsuspecting.
I didn't know that Julie...
Now, come on. We haven't any time to waste. Get out, Roger.
Well, it sounds batty to me, but if you say so...
Okay. Now, we go up the fire escape.
The fire escape?
That's right. Take him by surprise. Now, here it is. Now, you get first.
Why me? You're going to make the arrest.
He may have somebody planted out here. I'm a kind of a rear guard. Now, come on, Roger. You're slowing us down. Now, get moving.
Pete, look, I don't...
Come on. Now, don't make any noise. That's right. We don't want to scare him. Yep, we're nearly there. You're out of condition, Roger, old pal. Too much good living at the Bacon Grill. Oh, here we are.
Now, listen, Pete, I'm not sure I like this.
Now, the window.
Pete, will you listen to me?
Okay, Roger. In you go.
You go in if you want to. I'm staying right here.
A chicken, huh?
What do you mean?
What could I mean? You come out with me on an assignment? The very first sign of any danger, you...
What danger? I didn't say there was any danger.
And what's stopping you going through that window?
I just don't like the idea of breaking into a girl's bedroom, that's all. It's all very well for you.
Well, we're going in and you're going first.
Hey, no, let me go. No, Julie, don't shoot. It's me, Roger. Don't shoot, Julie.
Oh. Well, there he is, Inspector. Mr. Big himself. It makes you feel kind of sick to know a guy as long as I've known Roger Bacon and then find out he's top man in a forgery ring.
But I don't understand how you got under him, Troy.
I told you about this phone call from Julie.
It wasn't me at all. My phone was out of order.
Oh, sure, Roger saw to that. He didn't want you phoning me for real or want me checking you back. But it was your voice on my phone, Julie.
But how?
The interview you gave that woman. One way or another, she tricked you into using all the phrases you used to me on the phone.
Well, you mean the tape recording she made of me was played over the phone to you?
A carefully edited version of it, yeah. Roger the lodger, he had some clever technician take phrases you used, like, this man's threatening me, don't, and come up the front way, and so on. Cut and splice the tape so that only those phrases were left.
It made them sound like a distress call from Miss Summers.
That's right. You remember, Julie, she asked you to speak precisely. She didn't want other words to run too close to the ones they would use. Too hard to edit.
And what made you suspicious of that phone call?
Well, it all sounded a bit stilted. That's the trouble with that kind of tape editing. It doesn't always work. Besides, I was there in the office when that part of the interview took place. The words rang a bell when I heard them again.
You're pretty smart, Troy, but one of these days...
Save it, Roger, save it.
I planned it all so carefully. Even the fake kidnapping of Julie to scare her. That made it possible for me to give her the gun while you were called away for a phone call. Also my idea.
Yeah, I admit I couldn't figure what kind of reception you would organize for me at the top of that fire escape. Just as well for you, you ducked. But next time, Roger...
Next time I'll get you, for good.
Not if you're dumb enough to send a lame brain like that girl of yours to hell. She made that interview so nutty it made me think something crooked was going on. And as for wearing that 200-guinea suit on a job like that... Though I must admit she wore it very well. Yeah. Say, where is that girl, Inspector?
Why, she's a...
Never mind. Just watch where you're heading, Peter Troy. And walk softly.
So, Roger Bacon, once my buddy, turned out to be the very secret head of a forgery ring. And was so little a buddy of mine, as it happened, that he was not above planning, a little too elaborately, to have Julie bump me off. For it was supposed to be me who went through that window, with a suitably panic-stricken Julie blazing away with the natty little equalizer Roger had given her. I never did get around to telling Julie the main truth about the case of the champagne doll, namely, that if it hadn't been for her noticing that Ella Charles was wearing an expensive model costume, Peter Troy might have walked very loudly to his death. But you know how it is. Pay a woman a compliment of that kind, and the next thing, she's getting to believe she's almost as smart as a man. And as I said before, women are different than men. Well, let's keep it that way. It's a very nice arrangement.
This was an Altranza production, written and directed by Kresick Jenkinson.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.